Welcome to Shallow Deep Dive, where we take a deepish dive into the shallow world of branding, advertising, and creative. I'm Joe Qualls. Today we're talking about how an agency should answer one small question about AI. This is part one of a five-part series we're doing on brands and AI, and we're starting with the least dramatic thing we could find, our own position. There's a moment in a lot of client meetings now, it usually comes near the end, almost as an afterthought, once the real business is done. Someone leans back and asks, "So, do you use AI?" And you can feel the room change a little, because everyone knows there are a few ways to answer, and most of them are performances. One way is to get excited. You talk about transformation. You say the future of creativity is already here, and you have a slide for it, with a diagram. Another way is to get defensive. You lower your voice and promise that no machine touches the work, it's all human hands, as if the client had asked you to confess to something. Both of those are performances, and the client can usually tell. There's a third answer, and it's the one we think is right. It's boring. You just tell them what's true. Here's what we use it for. Here's what we don't. Here's who checks the work before it reaches you. Here's what happens to anything confidential you hand us. No diagram, no confession, just the actual shape of how we work. That's the whole idea for today. The most useful position on AI isn't a dramatic one, it's a clear one. And clear turns out to be harder than dramatic, because clear means you've actually decided. So let's say what a clear position contains, because it isn't very much. It marks where the human leads and where the tool assists, and it doesn't blur the two. The parts we'd never hand over are the parts that were always the job. The strategy, the diagnosis, working out what's actually wrong before anyone designs a fix, the concept, the direction a brand takes, the judgment in a design about whether it's right, not just whether it's finished, the relationship with the client, and the final approval where a person puts their name to the recommendation. Those stay with people because they're the thing you're paying an agency for. Then there's the other set of tasks, and we're just as plain about these. Research support, where a tool reads more in an hour than a person could in an afternoon, and we check what it found. Drafting, where the first version is cheap so the 10th can be good. Variants, the same idea worked out across 15 sizes and formats. Code and prototyping, where you want to see the thing moving before you commit to it. The repetitive adaptation work that used to eat a week, that's where the tool earns its place. Not by being clever, by being quick at the parts where quick is fine. Here's the sentence we keep coming back to. AI changes how we work. It doesn't change what we deliver. The standard at the end is the same standard it always was. A client isn't buying our process. They never were. They're buying the recommendation, and the recommendation has to be right, whether it took a week of a person's hands or an afternoon of a person steering a tool. If the tool lowered the quality, we didn't save anything. We just failed faster. Which brings us to the part people skip, because it's the least exciting part, and it's the one that actually matters. Responsibility doesn't disappear when a tool enters the room. It just needs saying out loud. The person using the tool owns what comes out of it. They can't point at the machine when it's wrong. The agency owns the recommendation it puts in front of you, however the pieces were made, and the client should always know what they're approving and how it was made in plain terms without having to ask twice. A position that leaves any of those three vague isn't a position, it's a hope. We'd also be honest about the savings, because this is where the drama tends to creep back in. It's tempting to turn AI into a discount slogan. Everything's faster now, so everything's cheaper now. But the real savings are specific, and they're smaller and stranger than the slogan. Sometimes a tool takes a two-day task down to 2 hours. That's a genuine saving, and we'll pass it on. And sometimes the tool produces 40 options in a minute, and the actual work, the thing you're paying for, is a person spending the afternoon deciding which two are any good and why. In that case, the review is the work. The generating was never the hard part. So we won't pretend the speed showed up somewhere, it didn't. And we'd name the risks, plainly, before you have to ask about them. Tools invent things. A confident citation to a study that doesn't exist. So anything a tool surfaces gets checked before it reaches a client, a fact or a figure, most of all. Anything confidential you hand us stays inside the tools we trust with it and doesn't get fed into ones we don't. None of that is thrilling to say. All of it is the difference between a position you can stand behind and a mood. There's an obvious objection to all this, and it's worth naming. The boring position makes you look behind. everyone else is promising transformation, and you're promising that a person checks the citations. But we'd argue the opposite. The theatrical positions are the nervous ones. The agency selling the future is usually the one that hasn't decided what it actually does, so it reaches for the biggest words available. The agency swearing that no machine ever touches the work is usually bluffing, and the client half suspects it. Calm is what confidence sounds like. If you know exactly where the tool helps, and exactly where a person has to, you don't need to perform fear or excitement. You can just describe it. So the least theatrical position turns out to be the strongest one, and it fits in three plain lines. The tool is useful, quality comes first, and it isn't up for negotiation. And people stay responsible for what they make. That's the whole of it, no manifesto. A client can read it without wincing, which is a fair test for anything you write about AI. That's the position, and it's deliberately the plain one, because it's the ground the rest of this series stands on. This was part one of our 5-part run on brands and AI. From here, we get specific. How a brand stays legible to people and to machines. Why a faster tool asks more of the brief, not less. What belongs in the AI chapter of a set of brand guidelines. And why AI content still needs a point of view. 4 parts, each one a floor built on this one. We'll take them one at a time. Thank you for indulging us in today's shallow deep dive. We hope you'll join us for the next one. Until then, take care.